That's inexplicable. Inexplicable. The guy should be locked up for that. That makes what Rush did in the first half even more depressing. And that's a little shameful, considering the stakes. I think this is a little misplaced. Why? Why? Why?
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, on this wacky, depressing Monday. Ira, good to see you. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. And Sage, a lot of action this week at Bill Curry Ford. Now, everybody's got to get to their website in the next couple of days.
Holiday week.
To see what sort of holiday specials might be popping by surprise. But there are some there now. And, of course, Bill Curry Ford, really the value. Not only do they have the transparent pricing and the great pricing, they've got the Ira Kaufman discount, which is available through GM Sean Sullivan. Just reach out. And they've got matching price. Not only matching Ira, but they're beating any advertised price by $100. They've got other offers. There are some great financing offers. But family-owned makes the difference since 1960. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium in Tampa. Get to their website now, because that's how it's done. Everybody shops first online, BillCurryFord.com. We know. I know you like to go and sit in the back seat, get a sense of whether you could have some popcorn back there and feel comfortable. But, you know, you still start online.
There's no question about it. And it's going to lead you right to Dale Mabry, 1 mile north of the stadium on the east side. Sean and his crew are ready to accommodate you. They will work with you, no matter your financial situation.
BillCurryFord.com. And we'll talk later, Sage, about Florida's Elite Restoration. 24-7, even on holidays, you call them anytime. They will come out to your property and give you an evaluation of your disaster, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it is. Don't wait. And right now, be smart. Get to Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Understand how they can help you. All right, Ira, I'm not sure how to help the Bucks. They kind of are what they are. 8-7, tied with the Falcons. Sitting on the outside because they have to finish ahead of the Falcons to get in, and they need a small miracle to be a wild card team if it comes to that because of Washington's big win against Philadelphia yesterday. So that's the situation. It's not really grim because Atlanta's got to go to Washington next Sunday night.
And Washington's favored.
And Washington's favored, and Washington's just flat out a much better team. So the numbers say Atlanta's going to lose. Bucks are going to beat Carolina. Away we go. But it's never that simple, Ira, but we'll clear the floor. We're going to get out of the way for the Sage.
Here's my take, Lee. In a few hours, I'm going to be on the tee box at a golf course. I haven't played in a year. I'm going to stink. But what's not going to help me, Lee, is as I'm doing my preparation over the ball, if the thought or the video flashes through my mind of Cooper Rush in the first half on Sunday night, I'm going to miss the ball, Lee. I'm not going to touch the ball. It's going to be a big swing and a big miss.
Don't fall down.
The most depressing part of the loss was that for the entire first half, I thought I was watching one of the two Atlanta games, maybe the Denver game. And what do I mean by that, Lee? You saw it just like I did. Pitch and catch. No contested passes. Zero. No passes defended. No balls that are almost intercepted. Simple, easy pitch and catch. No pass rush.
Over the middle.
Over the middle. No pass rush, Lee.
Eight yards. Well, that's a hallmark of this team.
8 yards, 11 yards, whatever. They couldn't run worth a damn all night, Dallas. They did absolutely nothing. Nothing. Buck run defense was spectacular. And this guy Dowdle, who nobody ever heard of, he had just come off three straight 100-yard games. The guy was playing well. They were running the ball well. They stopped them cold. That makes what Rush did in the first half even more depressing if you're a Buck fan. Why did the Buck defense revert to what it was doing before the four-game winning streak? I will never know. Rush was in no rush, and it was a pain in the ass to watch. Yeah, they straightened out big time in the second half. Lee, the last four possessions were four punts by Dallas, where they went almost three and out each time. But, you know, too little too late. Two fourth-quarter giveaways by the Bucks. One kind of controversial, you know, with the McMillan tumble in the end zone. But I thought Dallas deserved to win, Lee. I thought Dallas was the better team. Yeah. And that's hard to stomach at this point. They had nothing to play for, and the Bucks had everything to play for.
Dallas was the more prepared team, no doubt about it, which that goes back to the head coach. Why weren't they prepared? Monday and his day after presser, or even last night. Last night, actually, after the game Sunday night, he kept talking about fundamentals, technique. They've been practicing since freaking July.
He didn't say miscommunication.
Todd Bowles is who you're referring to.
I would hope so. I mean, it's not Vince Lombardi.
He didn't say miscommunication, which we've heard before.
Yeah, that's a change.
You know what that brings me up to?
How can a NFL team with playoff lives at stake late December not be playing with fundamentals? You've been practicing since freaking July. I don't count underwear football. That's playing grab ass. They've been playing with pads since July. You're still got problems with technique. You still got problems with fundamentals. My high school coaches are rolling in their graves right now. How?
And I'm going
to
put
what the hell are you doing at practice?
Steve, I'm going to put this to you because last week you suggested, and, you know, I think with some merit at the time when you were saying it. Now, of course, you look like a clown. But at the time, you had some merit. Steve, you suggested that, you know, with Jamel Dean back and McCollum fairly healthy, that maybe Bowles can play a more aggressive style, and maybe that explains why the defense was much more stout during the last four games, during the winning streak. And, Steve, it seemed to me like they reverted back to where they was last night.
I'm not sure they reverted completely. Look, the blitzes didn't get through, and they did tighten up in the second half. You just laid it out perfectly. So, you know, those Kirk Cousins games, it was all game long. What happened early, I can't be so sure. But the outside corners didn't play very well. Some of the tackling was bad. And, you know, this is a win if they didn't give up 23 points to the Cowboys in the first half. 23? Really? And so, you know.
And 220 yards for Rush.
Yeah, which was his first half all-time high. And they made the one-dimensional. You just explained that. And they just couldn't stop it. It was just really bad, Ira, to a point that it shouldn't be. Like, they should be able to adjust out of that. But I want you to keep going, Sage. I want you to keep going. There were a lot of key plays in this game. I want you to isolate on a couple of them that were critical to you and key decisions as well, and maybe some that you think are getting overblown.
Well, one that jumped out at me and it led to a touchdown was a C.D. Lamb reception. Lee, he should have been down on the 10-yard line. And when you got first and goal from the 10, it's not that easy to score. It's not that easy. It's not like if you're at the 13, you can still get a first down. It makes it a little bit easier to get your touchdown in the red zone. And instead, he spun away, and I kept looking for the number. I think it could have been Merriweather. It was not Tyke Smith. And he spun away, and it's another example of lousy tackling, which I think it's been a big problem all year long. And I'll give you an example. Yards after catch, when you look at the numbers, 32 teams, the Bucs are at the bottom five, maybe bottom three.
As far as allowing?
Allowing yards after catch. It's been a problem all year, especially in those two Atlanta games were a disaster. That jumped out at me. Now, here's a positive play that jumped out at me that I thought the guy could have been an unsung hero, Mike Edwards, who I don't think got many snaps, but it was a third down, a critical third down to get Dallas's offense off the field.
Third and eight, 5:40 left, Sage.
And what was it, a short pass? A little screen, Steve?
It was a run out of the shotgun. And
Dowdle?
Yep, and he came up and
he looked like he was going to get the first down.
Came up and hammered him. Yeah, 2 yards short.
Yeah, excellent play by Edwards. I mean, there were some positives. Some, not many. Izzian was outstanding.
Oh, I've always been a fan of him.
Yeah, he's sneaky good, Izzian. Sneaky good. I think Smith's better, you know, going forward. But Izzian's a valuable reserve. 13 tackles, 9 solos. I mean, that speaks for itself. McMillan, second game in a row with 5 receptions. Second game in a row with a touchdown catch. Lee, not bad. Did he fight hard enough for that reception?
No.
That was a quick answer. Expand on that.
Well, first off, on that touchdown, or would-be touchdown, turned to a pick, I thought he came down with the ball. I thought when he hit the turf, he had possession. Now, we didn't see an opposite field angle. And so it was kind of screened by McMillan's back what was going on. So I couldn't really tell if the ball was out as he was coming down. I couldn't tell. But it sure appeared from a bad angle that he came down hitting the turf with possession. I thought that was a touchdown. I thought by NFL rules that's a touchdown. But hell, we don't know where the catch is anymore. A guy can catch a ball, roll around 10 times, go out of bounds, drop it, and they'll call it incomplete. When I grew up, 2 feet inbounds, you got the ball. Touchdown, not anymore.
Steve, I got one more takeaway, maybe my biggest.
Real quick, Ali, I think they do say, and it's vague sometimes, but it's got to control the ball through the catch.
And through the catch is vague.
He hits the ground, and the other guy's got the ball. You know,
so he didn't complete it.
Yeah. He didn't control it through the catch, through the NFL's crazy rules. I don't think, even just looking at it that way, like even old school Lee, I think ultimately you'd watch that play and say, hey, The guy, the guy who came away with the ball is the guy who caught it.
Well, we're bringing up the vague. I got to say this because it's been in my craw all weekend long. I can't remember what game it was. I think it was Ohio State, Tennessee. And that apologist of a rules analyst that ESPN employs, this Matt Austin character, he says, you got to have firm control. What the hell is firm control?
Now it's firm control.
Control is control.
I was looking for that.
I haven't had it since 77, Steve.
Leakage.
May I add my biggest takeaway?
Yes, please.
Steve? And nobody mentions this. Nobody mentions this, so I got to throw it out there. Not enough Bucky Irving.
Well, you brought
not up. Not enough, Steve.
You brought up what I was going to hit on. Did he touch the ball in the last 8 minutes or so?
Where's my rookie, Stevie? Right. Where is he?
I got to disagree a little. First, I agree with you from the standpoint. I think they've been doing. Rashad White comes out, handles the first possession. Irving comes in. If it's a longer possession, you see him at some point a little bit. And then they sort of go to Irving. If he's that good, why not put him out there to start?
Thank you.
So I'll say that. And, you know, there's been a lot of barking about, oh, he didn't have the ball late in the game. Well, you know what? The Bucs' second-to-last drive was a touchdown. So what are we going to complain about there? Rashad White fumbles, coughs up the rock. You know, you could easily argue, hey, Irving's your best back. Get your best back on
Thank
the field.
You, yeah.
I can't argue with that. But
and I'm not. By the way, I'm
before
not killing,
that. I don't know.
I'm by the way, I'm not killing White for that fumble. I mean, yeah, it was wrong. He should have better. You know, you don't palm the ball like Billy Sims used to do. He's not Billy Sims, Ira. But I always go back to Nick Saban, and no one's proved Nick Saban wrong about this. You in crunch time, you get your best players the ball. I don't think anybody sober will say that Rashad White's a better player than Bucky Irving. I'm sorry.
They needed a second-half spark on offense, Steve, and Irving's the guy to give it to you.
Yeah, look, I'm not disagreeing with you. Look,
and I'm not ragging on Rashad White, by the way.
That touchdown, that which went to Ryan Miller, of all people.
Right, wide open.
Wide open as his second touchdown of the year. Mayfield continued to spread balls around. You had Trey Palmer with a huge catch.
Yeah.
Had
Payne Durham.
Jarrett came up with him.
Durham's
hung
catching
in there,
balls.
Five balls that he caught.
Well, he took a hit.
Yes, he did.
But on that previous drive, the interception drive, that we talked about with the McMillan thing, Irving wasn't in that drive, but Mayfield threw a 55-yard strike to the end zone. Oh, are you going to complain about no Bucky Irving? I don't think Irving was the issue, so that's I'm going to go there, Sage.
He wasn't the issue when he scored. He was the issue when he didn't score.
Well, no, because we just talked about an interception in the end zone that had nothing to do with Irving and not using him.
This is where I'm standing. Get your best players on the field. Are you suggesting that's not a good idea?
Oh, no. It's
okay,
it
that's
is a
all
good
I'm
idea.
Talking about.
But he didn't have a spectacular game when he was out there, either.
He was productive.
Yeah.
He was productive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a huge Buck Irving
Mayfield
fan,
played a very gritty game, Lee. A gritty game. I thought he got hit a lot. And some key runs by him. Three of them.
He didn't play awful. He didn't play good enough to win.
Sage Rashad White, I'll smack him around a little bit. The guy choked the game away. He choked the game away. The Bucs had the ball driving.
Just like Irving did in Atlanta,
exactly,
Steve.
And all they needed was a field goal. They had plenty of time, and they had the Dallas defense reeling. Even on the broadcast, they were saying, Micah Parsons looked gassed.
Yeah.
He was holding the ball loose, but he had two hands on it when he fumbled.
Yeah.
Wasn't tough enough, just like McMillan wasn't tough enough. And you know what? Rashad White, go back, second play against the Ravens at home, coughs the ball up on, like, the 25-yard line. Boom,
set the
Ravens
tone
score.
For the whole game.
Set the second critical fumble.
You know, I thought the Bucs were behind. This was behind them. The way they punched the Chargers in the mouth.
Yeah.
The Bucs aren't a physical team. I mean, the Cowboys came out there, and they played smash-mouth football. And look what happened. Like, McMillan, I don't want to see him skip 2 days from the weight room. He needs to get in the weight room. You're not playing Cal anymore. You're playing in the NFL. These guys are going to rip the ball out of your hands. Muscle up a little bit. Get tougher.
And, Steve, here's a problem from week one, the entire season. It's a big, big problem. I'll give you the number, and I'll give you my reaction. 15 games, 7 picks. Awful. That's freaking awful. 7 interceptions in 15 games for a Todd Bowles defense?
Oh.
7, Lee. 7.
You know,
another game where they got no takeaways.
Can
you get some takeaways? I know you don't care about them, but it's the number one stat in football. They're -6, it's hurting them.
And it's so overrated. Oh, my God.
Tell 32 coaches that.
I will. I told them that.
It's the first thing they preach, Lee.
Well, that's why they're effed up.
Didn't Bowles say after the game? Bowles security is the number one priority.
Well, points.
In this game.
That's my problem with freaking defensive coaches.
But
it's about points.
But when you lose the turnover battle, it's
points.
It's taking drives
points.
Away.
Points.
Lee, it's taking drives.
Points. It's not about takeaways. It's about points. My God, how much football we have to watch before we figure out it's not about turnovers. Lovey Smith.
They can't hear you down there, Lee.
God damn. I don't care if they get 20 turnovers a game. You can't score. You can't win.
But Lee, there's a link between...
Caleb Williams, 0 picks in 8 games. How many wins in those 8 games? 0.
May I finish? Lee, there's a link between how many times you get the ball, how many possessions, and how many points you can score.
Jalen McMillan catches that ball. We're not talking a damn thing about turnovers.
Well, we don't know. Dallas could have came back and scored again. You never know.
I'm not saying they're bad, but they're so overrated. Not overrated, overweighted.
Well, how come every year out of the top 10 teams in turnover differential, 9 of them have winning records? Is that a coincidence every year?
I don't know if it's 9, but I remember the Bucs were 3rd in the NFL in takeaways and won 4 games with Shannon.
Steve, is that a coincidence? Every year.
It's not a coincidence, but I agree with Lee that it's overrated. I mean, ball security, obviously, no coach, no fan, no player wants to just drop the ball or throw it away.
Well, what about the flip side? Takeaways. What about getting the ball on a takeaway? That doesn't help you score points.
Maybe if you can score.
Well,
again, Shiano had he's tied for 3rd in the league with takeaways, but he had no offense. He had Mike Glennon and some 2-bit running back.
And they won 7 games.
No, he won 4.
Oh, the second year of Shiano? The mercy year?
Point is, Ira, you can have a good team and not have a good turnover differential. And so that's where it gets overrated. Certain things you can't do and still be good. But let me put this out there, Sage.
Is 7 interceptions acceptable? 7.
It's not enough. Their goal, they've said their goal is 30 turnovers forced per year, I believe, or 2 a game. But I think it's 30 is the number they shoot for. It's not enough. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Pass rush certainly helps a lot, in which they don't have an edge rush. Yaya Diaby, clear shot, a shot you dream about. Coming up on Cooper Rush, who kind of panicked, and he didn't know what to do when he got within one step of the quarterback. Didn't know what to do. You watch that replay, it's like, well, it looks like the game is fixed. Diaby's a monster. Just go drill the quarterback.
Steve, quick. Chris Collinsworth should give his check back for his paycheck needs to go back to NBC for last night.
What did he do?
Because he uttered this immortal line, and I was thinking of Lee DeKemper when he said it.
This is
what he said. The Bucs don't have a great edge rush. That's the way you're going to put it? Instead of saying they have a lousy edge rush?
Well,
they don't have a great edge rush?
You know those guys don't want that.
Speak your mind, Collinsworth. And I'm tired of seeing that PFF nonsense, because that's his thing over there.
Yeah.
And they put it all over
the
thing.
Steve, I got to say this. Bless you, Steve.
You're blessing Steve Ismets?
Yeah, because of this. He put this on Twitter. The nerds that Collinsworth employs with the Pro Football Frauds, they have cans you ranked. It's about rank.
Kansas,
who the fuck's a rank? Excuse me. Who the hell's the rankers? Well, they rank. You know, these immortals of football, you know, these gods of football who invented the game, they rank Kalijah Kansi 99th.
99th?
Yeah, which is absurd.
At his position.
The guy's had a good season.
Hell yeah, he's had a good season.
Put it on the screen.
So, like Steve said, he put on Twitter, he's waiting for Collinsworth to rave about Kansi and throw his nerds under the bus.
So, Sage,
I got to calm down here.
That's a good one, Lee.
Lee, don't calm down.
Don't calm down, Lee.
So, look, in that game, Baker Mayfield fumbled, and next thing you know, it's 3rd and 40. You can't do that, Baker. He also ate a sack in field goal range.
Yes.
In the first half. You can't do that, Baker.
He also ran for 2 or 3 first downs.
He did a lot of great things. He threw for 300 yards. He sprayed the ball around.
The pick wasn't his fault.
He ran well. The pick wasn't his fault. The guy is an excellent football player, but the types of mistakes that they made in this game, as Lee said, they go back to fundamentals. Protecting the football is the ultimate fundamental, right? Every little kid learns that. But also mental fundamentals. Got to know, Baker, okay, I don't take a sack here no matter what. He took a sack. I don't fumble the ball here, and I fumbled the ball. A lot of crappy stuff in this game, Ira, that's so frustrating because the Bucs offense, we know, can just put points up if they need to. And obviously not every time, but they can score, which teams that score should be 10, 11 win teams.
And Lee, sometimes you got to give the other guy credit in this regard. This Aubrey guy, he's a tremendous weapon.
Yes.
They cross midfield. They're in Aubrey range. Now McLaughlin's very, very good. I got no problem with him. No,
I agree with you.
But this guy is like historic Aubrey. And so, you know, what did he kick? 4?
Four.
They were all long ones.
Yep.
All long ones.
3 in the 50s, 148, I think.
Aubrey, if you give power brokers at One Buck Palace truth serum, Aubrey is who they hoped Matt Gay would be.
Yeah. And who's punting for Dallas? Little Brian Anger.
Brian Anger, your old buddy.
And he did a good job.
Now, here you go, Iverson. Investigative journalism for you. Bucks fans are seething. Why was Kamara cut? Well, he wasn't doing very well. Well, everybody has replaced him. Has done worse. But here's the kicker. Here's why I think there may be a story. He's not employed. He's unemployed.
Young and unemployed. Yeah.
Something tells me that's more than punning.
There could be more to it. It brings those things into mind. It does.
So, Ira, now I know we talked about this a lot before the podcast, but first I'm going to tell everybody, as I said before, Florida's elite restoration. You can't screw around with your number one. People's homes are worth.
It's the biggest investment.
You get a leak under the sink and you got a flood. You can't just blow it off. You're going to just destroy your asset.
Well, the first thing I think of is Cosmo made a mistake in the house. But then I'd look
mold.
Then I look at the color and, then I see I got a leak. It ain't Cosmo. Sorry I slapped you around, Cosmo. I apologize.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I was one of those blame the dog guys. You know, something smells in the house. Oh, Cosmo.
Cosmo. But anyway, Florida's elite restoration, they're the ones to call, Steve.
Exactly. So roof damage, flood, fire, mold. Mold's a killer, and you need a licensed mold remediation specialist. Can't just hire some handyman with a rag and some Fantastic to clean your mold. So FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Call them. Josh Martin, locally owned. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area. Josh also and his team, they go beyond, all the way across the state.
There's a reason their business is flourishing, Steve. There's a reason.
5-star Google reviews across the board.
When have you ever seen that?
We've sent a lot of people there, and they're fantastic. And remember, they've got their own Ira Kaufman discount. Mention Ira when you call. And after your free evaluation, if you need their services, you'll get $500 back. Call them, but more important, go there now. FloridasEliteRestoration.com, so you're prepared. All right, Ira, look, the timeout has...
All right, let's get into it.
That was called, is on the minds of a lot of national analysts. It's on the minds of a lot of Bucks fans. It's on Lee's mind. It was at the end of the first half, and I'll set the table of what happened, and you give your 2 cents. Buccaneers get a first down, 54 seconds left in the half. We know that Dallas was moving the ball left and right, 20 points to that point.
They're at the Dallas
in the first
10.
Half, Dallas 10-yard line. Bucks have one timeout left. Cowboys have 3 timeouts left.
Clock's running.
Todd Bowles calls an immediate timeout. Boom. 54 seconds. He could have waited and let clock run off. Maybe, most likely, Dallas jumps in at, they're not really running a play. We'll call timeout at 40 seconds left. We want time to save. So he could have had Dallas burn its first timeout and eat up a little time. Or if he really felt he needed a timeout, which is what he said today when pressed, he didn't need it with 54 seconds. He could have waited to 35. So, of course, what happens? They score right away. Touchdown, Ryan Miller. Cowboys get the ball back. 3 timeouts. They use them all and kick a 57-yard field goal, or 58. And the Bucks lose by 2. And there's 3 free points. Now, maybe fans are going crazy, but Father Dungy, one of the holy men of NFL and Buccaneers football.
Stop laughing, Lee.
I'm going to read to you what Tony Dungy said.
You're going to read it? You got a transcript?
I typed it up.
Oh, my God.
That's what we do.
Tony Dungy, who doesn't necessarily smack coaches around.
The guy who I made the speech for Canton, that Tony
that
Dungy.
Tony Dungy.
And Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks.
Tampa
and
local.
He said
he was on record. Dungy did a pregame sit down with Bowles, said how all his kids are big Bucks fans. They love Bucky Irving, can't get enough, whatever. Dungy was at the game. He was there with his son. And Dungy on national television says of the timeout call by Bowles, "I thought this was not the right thing to do. Go up there, run your next play. You want to score. You're going to have plenty of time." But they scored with 48 seconds left. Then Dallas moves it down. They've got a great long-range kicker. He makes it. 3 points that comes back to haunt you at the end of the game. The thing to do is line up, run your next play, and if you need a timeout, then take it when it's in the 30s, in the 20s. Don't take it with 54 seconds left.
Don't you talking about scoring?
Far be it from me to disagree with, in the words of Lee, Father Dungy. I think this is a little misplaced. First of all, it happened in the first half of the game. Now, granted, Dallas ended up scoring 3 points and robbed the Bucks of momentum going into the halftime locker room. I think that's important, too. However, there's no guarantee you're going to score a touchdown from the 10-yard line. So if, as Bowles says, the offense was disheveled, why would you throw away a down when, at that point, then you only have 2 more downs and then you're going to kick a field goal? You're going to cost yourself 4 points. It's not that easy to score from the 10-yard line. He didn't like the way the offense looked. He called a timeout. Two quick points. One, if he didn't call the timeout, Mike McCarthy would have called the timeout. That's the first point to make. McCarthy's no dummy. Number two, why did they let him gain 40 yards and kick a field goal? That's on the defense again.
Well, that's true, obviously.
Why? So, was it a mistake? Maybe, but I wouldn't focus so much on that timeout. You guys seem to be a little obsessed with it.
We're not the only ones.
You're not the only ones. Lee, what's your point? Run the play and then call timeout? And sort of like, might take a penalty. You might move back to the 15 if you're disheveled.
How disheveled can you be?
I don't know. He said disheveled. It's his word.
Todd Bowles said we needed the timeout. Great. No problem with that. I have no problem needing a timeout. You don't need it with 54 seconds left. Take the timeout to get on the headset with whoever you're with, Jackie Davidson, Tom Moore, whoever's there, say, when do we take it? We take it at 40? We good? You calling a pass on second down? When do we take this thing?
But you agree that McCarthy could have also called
sure,
timeout.
Sure, he probably would have if the Bucs let it drain too far. So, Bowles, sure, you needed a timeout. That's very nice. I believe you, Todd. You didn't need it with 54 seconds left. Nobody on the planet believes that.
Now, here's one, and I don't know the answer to this. And I wasn't at the press conference.
It was on Zoom, Lee.
No, I saw the YouTube, but I don't do Zoom in questions. That's too impersonal. I can't do it. Who called the timeout? What I mean by that is, did Cone ask for it? Or did Bowles, like, I don't like this, and he overruled
it's
Cone?
It's unclear.
I mean, it could have been Cone. So I got to be fair here. We're killing Bowles, and he's the face of the franchise. He's the head coach. But was it Cone? I don't know.
Steve, let's also emphasize that they had given up 20 points in the first half before that.
Yeah.
And that's disgraceful for a team that couldn't run the ball. Dallas, zero run game.
But it also goes to the whole premise, which is they needed to make sure Dallas didn't get the ball back. And they didn't do that.
That's not the first time this year that the Bucs scored. I can't remember the game, Lee, but there was another game.
The Chiefs.
Where the Bucs scored, and then they allowed the other team to take the momentum back. I remember that. That's right. Was it the half? The end of the half or the end of
well,
the
certainly end of the game.
Or the end of the game with the Chiefs.
It was the end of the game.
That's even worse.
Regulation.
And you know what? Yeah. Even if Cohen asked for the timeout, said, Todd, I want a timeout here. Great. It's Todd's job to decide when they call the timeout. We've seen a million coaches every week. You see a coach looking at the clock. Okay, he knows I'm calling it at 30, you know. So
now, here's another question that's related. Does Cone have when the Bucs have the ball, does Cone have the authority to call timeout?
I doubt it.
Probably not.
I'm sure Baker Mayfield does.
Yes.
But I don't think Cone would.
Why did the Bucs lose that game, Steve? They outgained them. They did this. They outrushed them by a large margin. Why did they lose the game?
You said, and Mike Evans said, Dallas wanted it more. Do you believe that, Lee? Do you buy it?
I do believe it. What do you think, Lee? I do believe it.
Evidence suggests that because the Cowboys were ready, the Bucs were not.
And that's a little shameful, considering the stakes for both teams.
Yes.
Dallas eliminated before the opening kickoff. Could have fell apart. I thought that was a vote of support for Mike McCarthy by the Dallas players, that they played hard.
Yeah.
And Jerry's not Jerry's not that quick to change coaches.
No.
McCarthy might sneak through here.
Oh, I think he will. I think he will. Last night, Jerry Jones was effusive with his praise about McCarthy.
After the game?
After the game.
Oh, okay.
You know,
because
Jerry always has a press conference after the game. Can't pass up Mike. I love that.
Why'd the Bucs lose that game, Lee? Why?
The defense in the first half put him in a hole. It's as simple as that. I point to the timeout because Dallas had plenty of time to score that field goal. As you correctly point out, their place kicker only needs to get to midfield, and boom, it's a field goal.
Yeah.
That's a weapon. Last week, when I was talking to Yaya Diaby, this is related, I didn't hear him or didn't hit me right away what he said. And Saturday, when I'm transcribing my notes, Yaya said, you know, Bowles said very clearly last week, the outside noise doesn't bother us. Didn't bother us when we were losing. It's not going to bother us now. The next day, I was talking to Yaya about outside noise. You know, they have those two TVs on. They have the hollering shows. And they have Pat McAfee. Yaya came right out and said, yeah, we were reading our players' clippings. That's why we got beat by Denver.
Could it have happened again, Steve? Twice this
happened
year?
Happened once, it could happen again.
It happened
again.
In Denver, not against Denver. Now it's going to happen again? You're reading your press clippings?
I don't know who Yaya Diaby speaks for, so I got to put that out there. Second-year player. He doesn't exactly have team leaders in his edge rusher's room. And, you know, who's he speaking for? I'm sure he's speaking for himself, probably the edge rushers, but I don't know. It was different years ago when DeMar Dotson, a longtime guy, said that about the Bucs.
After the Arizona game, you were there.
I don't know.
If it is true, Lee, that they got caught up in the euphoria.
Again.
That's shameful. That's absolutely shameful.
So, better question. So, I read Lee's story. Right here, I got to say this. Todd Bowles, it was obvious when I read it from Lee, and I don't know if you guys made the connection. Todd Bowles said, we don't listen to the outside noise. We don't pay attention to the outside noise. Lee writes a story, talks to Diaby, says, we do.
Gruden used to call it elevator music.
Lee referenced the Pat McAfee show on in the background and other stuff and how players pay attention when this stuff's on TV. Why is it on in the locker room?
Ding.
Why? If Todd Bowles thinks it's so important that they don't pay attention to the outside noise, why is it on in the locker room? Where are the captains, this incredible leadership that the Bucks tell us they have, and say, hey, get that shit off the TV. It doesn't come in our
Yank them down.
I don't understand. Coming off the Chargers game, which was the epitome of being physical from a Buck perspective, maybe more aimed than I remember in years and years, Lee, going into and the Chargers are not a bad team.
No, they're not.
They're not a bad team. And they kicked their ass up and down, as Harbaugh said, thorough, very thorough. And then they come out against a team that had nothing to play for, Lee, that should have been down and out and depressed. And instead, the Bucks look like the team that had nothing to play for. Mike Evans said that after the game. Listen to Mike Evans. He tells it like it is, Steve. He doesn't make excuses, Mike Evans.
I got to ask Steve, this is going to rile people up. So you're suggesting get rid of the TVs and bring back the ping pong table?
I'm suggesting that Todd Bowles says it's so important that if they don't pay attention, then don't put it on TV. Which is it? All right, I'm going to throw this out there, Ira. This might shake you up a little bit. Bill Curry Ford. Don't forget the Ira Kaufman discount on your new vehicle that you're going to get this week. Your trade is never worth more than it is today, Ira. So, Sage, I'm going to say this. I am confident the Bucks make the playoffs.
Ooh.
I don't believe Atlanta is going to play well up in Washington. They didn't necessarily play incredibly well yesterday with Michael Penix.
How do they become a wild card, if necessary?
The Bucks?
Ooh. Yeah, the Bucks.
The Bucks would need
tons of help.
Washington to lose their last two?
They need Washington to lose to Atlanta, which we don't want. And then I believe Washington closes with Dallas.
So then they'd finish 10-7.
Right. The Bucks would win out, finish 10-7, make the wild card. Now, essentially, the wild card is going to be almost impossible. So, Ira, but I feel confident. I feel like this game, in some ways, will be good for the Bucks. This loss, they can build on it. The offense didn't collapse. I did not like the lack of usage of Mike Evans. I thought it should have been more earlier in the game. Yes, he got balls. Yes, he drew some penalties. Got 8 targets. I think they need to get him up to 12, 13. I mean, they went one go ball. He made an incredible diving catch, and then they don't go back to it. But I feel good about where they sit as it relates to the playoffs, not as it relates to what you said last week, which is that the Bucks could make the NFC Championship game.
Well, I was hoping they would close with a 7-game winning streak and incredible momentum going into a home playoff game. And at that point, I don't care who comes into Tampa, the Bucks would have a fighting chance because they'd be the hottest team in the league. 7-game win. They've never won 7 games in a row during a regular season and still haven't. All right. Steve, I agree with you.
Oh.
The odds are pretty good. Atlanta poops the bed in Landover. I mean, what a win for Washington. You talk about momentum.
Oh, I thought the game was over with. I was counting my money.
That's a great win for the Commanders. And Daniels, you know, he's had a hell of a rookie year. And Atlanta's not going to get 2 pick sixes every week. Lee. That's not going to happen.
That's true.
So, you know, while it seems like a crippling loss, Lee, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Now, the Bucks got to take care of their business, and I don't think Carolina's that much of an easy out at this point.
No.
Now, Dallas smacked them around a couple of weeks ago. They did.
Well, what sort of...
They've won 3 out of their last 7, and a couple of tough losses in those 4 losses.
You know, there's reason why Goodell in the NFL schedules division games the last couple weeks of the season because generally division foes are closer games. And we saw last year what kind of game Carolina gave the Bucks.
And the Bucks haven't been great at home this year, Steve. They have not been.
No, so I'm uncomfortable. Let's put it that way. Scared's too strong of a term. Uncomfortable. Now I got to ask you this, Ira. Are you telling me that Atlanta will never face a quarterback the rest of the year that has the same kind of common sense to throw 6 picks as he has common sense to dump a billionaire beauty queen?
That's inexplicable. Inexplicable. The guy should be locked up for that.
And FYI, people don't know what I'm talking about. Drew Locke used to date Gracie Hunt. He dumped her.
I understand. Now, Steve, this has to be said. And if you want to smack me around, go ahead. If the Bucks lose this game, the ramifications could be huge.
Oh.
Could be huge.
Yeah, massive. Massive.
I don't even want to go there.
Now the best you can do is 9-8. I'm not even sure they'd beat New Orleans if they lose this week. No, wait a minute. If they lose and Atlanta wins,
yeah, they're screwed.
They're out of the division race.
You got it.
Yes, they are.
You're suggesting if somehow the Bucks lose this week, that they will mentally collapse and pack it in and bring in the U-Hauls?
That could happen. That could happen. Especially if Atlanta wins on the road.
And then start booking their trips to the DR.
You know, like Steve said, the road to a wild card it's not a good road.
It's pretty much over. It's over if they lose next week and Atlanta wins. Now that's a pretty unlikely combination. What's fun about this in a twisted sort of way is that Carolina, if somehow Carolina beats the Bucks on Sunday, Carolina finishes at Atlanta. And so you'd have a hot, confident, young Carolina
Bryce
team
Young ready, bristling with confidence.
Ready for blood against Atlanta, which if Atlanta lose, let's say the Bucks and Atlanta both lose on Sunday. That means you'd go into week 18 with the Bucks at home against the slimy Saints who are tanking and Carolina at Atlanta. Would be really wild. I can't even think that far ahead.
You don't want to pin all your hopes on Carolina winning in Atlanta.
No.
Wait, that you don't want.
No, Carolina sucks. I'm still saying it.
I think Canales done a good job.
He's
done a solid job. The Liam Cohn whispers are now a scream again. Keep Liam Cohn. Bump him up to head coach. We're going to hear it all week.
The Bucks win, yeah, they're going
to
hear it.
Canales needs to win one more to hit his over on the season, which I've got. So I need that fifth game. It's got to be against Atlanta.
And Lee got me a ticket in Vegas on the Chiefs. I think it was 11.5. Won it easily. That's $90 in my pocket.
There you go, Ira. Right,
I might buy you some tater tots, Lee.
Lee, I'm talked out, still angry about this game, so I'm done. I'll give Lee a final comment if he's got one. Otherwise, the sage will take us out of here.
Addressing
a very disturbed and upset Bucks Nation.
Well, I'm just depressed. I'm depressed. I used a Grinch picture this morning. I think the Grinch stole Christmas from the Bucks. Bucks are on the outside looking in. They need help. It's a depressing time. The only thing I could say is maybe someone goes out and buys a bottle of Christmas cheer. They somehow forget, at least temporarily, what happened Sunday night.
A little eggnog, a little spiced eggnog.
I'm thinking bourbon.
Nice. The last thing I'll say, Steve, till our end of the week podcast, I'm very distressed about the way the Bucks played in the first half coming off the Chargers game. I didn't expect anything like that.
No.
I didn't think the Bucks were going to win by 3 touchdowns. I picked them 30-20. I didn't really like the offense, and I hated the defense in the first half. Just hated it. 20 points, whether it should have been 23 or 20. Cooper Rush looked like Joe Montana.
I know.
It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable.